ever since my 2 years in Juneau, I've kind of had the Alaska bug. I love the great land, the 49th state, love it to death. And always am thinking, oh, how am I going to get back there for fun or any reason, really? And down here, I had been covering in 2015, Shell Oil had been trying to get permission to drill for oil in the Arctic. And their platform, the Polar Pioneer, the name of their big rig, was down here for some work in the shipyards here. And all these protests were here. The kayaktivists, they called themselves, went out on the water and did these floating boating protests. And so I did a lot of that coverage. And then, of course, on Alaska was going to be the kind of the headquarters for Shell's Alaska effort. It was, you know, the last deep water port before they got up to the Chukchi Sea. So I thought, oh, that would be a really interesting place to continue covering a story that I felt like I had covered as much as anybody, and would still be of interest to a Seattle audience. So I convinced folks here, hey, can I just disappear for 4 months and not lose my job? And and here's why. And I told them about this gig, and they said, eventually, after some negotiations, they finally said, sure. So I did that, and it was very quick because the opening was happening right away. So I was like, how do I like shut down my life in Seattle and get up there as fast as possible?
What was the station like when you were there? At the beginning, you were the only reporter, right?
Yes. For most of my time there, I was the only reporter. Coming from a big station where there's lots of, I guess, bureaucracy, there's lots of quality control, which is good, and there's also lots of hoops to jump through, which is kind of the two sides of the same coin. So that coin doesn't exist. It didn't exist at KUCB, so it's just me. I could, in theory, you know, call up somebody in Anchorage or Juneau to maybe get an edit, but I didn't do that much. So there was a freedom and a terror to doing that. I like to think of myself as a pretty good self-editor, but you know, it's always better to have somebody else review your work. So that was scary. I also hadn't been responsible for a daily newscast before, other than occasionally filling in for somebody else. But to do that day in and day out is, that was a high pressure thing to jump into for somebody who's more, I was an investigative reporter before. Which means I might spend weeks on a single story instead of doing 5 newscasts a week. So it was a shift of gears.
While you were on Alaska, what were some of your favorite stories to cover?
I love covering science and environment stuff. So I did a lot of those, maybe more than some other reporter might have, but I just loved doing those. There were also just the random stories that were just kind of surprising. Oh, Lauren would say, hey, there's a nuclear submarine in the bay. Go check it out. I'm like, what? So I did. And I'd go out there and there's a black submarine in the bay. And I'd go out and, you know, they had a station at the time. It had a nice camera, long lens. So I got some nice pictures of this thing and then try to get anybody from the Navy to talk to me about what's going on. And so to name one particular story, I loved when these researchers came out there with these devices they called sail drones. They look like big windsurfers, and they were kind of self-piloting, essentially, and they would just work their way all across, meandering around the Bering Sea, taking different measurements of temperature and salinity and all sorts of stuff to help monitor ocean conditions and climate change. And I got to interview the guy behind this as he was collecting the drones down on the docks. That was a story that was both fun to be out there. And then I got about as goofy as I've ever gotten in a story and just had kind of made it like a almost science fiction story of maybe these drones are not what they're purported to be and they're actually out to get us. But telling this story of what was actually happening and my like paranoid, ridiculous voice saying, but what if they're, you know, what if they aren't following orders? And maybe, you know, I can't remember the details, but probably the story I had the most fun writing, the reporting was just, it was pretty cool. People often talk about only in Alaska stories. I think they're also only in un-Alaska stories.
Do you still keep up with what's going on in un-Alaska or at KUCB?
A little bit. I follow KUCB on Facebook and Twitter. I've donated, I think, both. It's been 2 years of cycles since I've left, so I'm a member.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I always think there's just great, interesting stories happening out there at kind of the, I like to call it the, you know, the end, the Western end of civilization, right? And just that there's basically one newsroom, one full-time newsroom covering 1,000 miles of island and ocean out there is both kind of sad. Like maybe there's, it wouldn't be nice if there were more, if there was more journalists out there, but it's also kind of, I think it's a, what made it just interesting to be out there as a journalist.
You've definitely shared some favorite stories already, but any other favorite memories of on Alaska?
The internet. So crappy, right? The so that was part of the reason that I spent so much time hiking, because just being inside, just there wasn't, it was, there just wasn't that much to do inside. And to move someplace as a solo person, middle-aged solo person, not really knowing a soul, was kind of terrifying. And I was fortunate to make friends with a couple of folks who were big hikers and get to do that all the time. So that was great. I guess I would say it was great to be part of a community where what I did really mattered, and to feel like you're really making a contribution. It can be easy to not feel that way in a big city. Like, we don't often get feedback on our work here. And but in Alaska, I would run into somebody at the, you know, at the Safeway or what have you, and they would have feedback. Sometimes thanks or praise, sometimes maybe not, but it was just nice to be part of a small but powerful little institution that was really central to the life of a community. And I think it's especially true in a tiny, tiny town like that. They're really fortunate to have be able to have a public radio newsroom in a town. Is it 4,000? Is that the population now?
Yeah, it's a little bit closer to 5,
yeah.
But small.
Yeah, so that's just a tremendous asset that I hope the community appreciates and keeps supporting.